In the new year, we've been going through the Gospel of John, and I really love the Gospel of John personally, as well as I think that it's a great image for us. It was written by a group of people, a group of believers that wanted to say what they had seen, what they believed, and how they felt God was at work in their world. So we finally made it through chapter 1 and chapter 2. We're in chapter 3 today. So some of these verses in chapter 3 are so famous. Anybody memorize a verse from chapter 3 of John? Yes? Yes? John 3:16? Anybody?
3:10.
And 3:10, okay. What's 3:10?
Nicodemus
book. A 9 is where we're starting, where he says, how are these things possible? It's this guy Nicodemus, and I love Nicodemus because he's asking all of these questions. You've been in my office, you've seen there's this question mark, and I did that when I was originally like looking at Nicodemus, thinking about him, this bit. He asks all these questions. And, you know, when I think about if Nicodemus was somebody today, we might describe him as someone who was religious, but not spiritual. A lot of people today say would categorize themselves as spiritual, but not religious. There's this desire to separate ourselves from the institution or the old ways of doing things, but say that we want to be connected with God and we experience God with us. But Nicodemus, he was coming from a different spot. He knew he'd grown up in the church. And he knew what it meant to follow God's ways, but he heard Jesus saying that there was something more to offer. And so he comes in the dark of night to talk with Jesus about, so what do you mean when you say we need to be born of the Spirit, that we can have this spiritual connection? What is the Spirit? What does that mean? And so that's where we meet Nicodemus and Jesus today. So in verse 9, Nicodemus says, how are these things possible? He's saying, how do I be born again of the Spirit? Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you do not understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact, that God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right came to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Here ends our reading. Treasure these words in your heart. I'm always fascinated by the discovery that people have been doing things for ages before they knew the science of it, that they were doing exactly the right thing that we discover through science is the right thing. Like earlier this week, I was talking with one of our
with one of our members who used to be an agricultural researcher, and he said that people have been lighting fires in the Flint Hills for hundreds and hundreds of years. That now as scientists, we know that we burn the fields in the spring to nurture the soil so that it can renew the soil and cut out the cedars. It's something that we know is necessary. But the Native Americans that lived on this land, they had no scientific proof. The scientific proof that they had was that they saw that the land needed it. There was something they knew about their experience that this is what was necessary and this is how the world works. I'm fascinated in these scriptures in the way that these people describe God as light when they have such a limited experience of light. You know, they never imagined all of the electronic ways that we produce light. They could not have imagined a big box of light like a television or even my iPad, which allows me to see all of my notes and draw and see images from all around the world. They would not have imagined that. To them, light was something very fragile and dim, maybe even just the light from a fire or great, something far away like the sun, and yet close to them as the sun hits them. Something mysterious, and yet something that helps them see all things. You would think that as we come to know more and more about how light and color and all of those wavelengths work, that we'd lose the mystery. Just because we can hold light in a box, that we can flip a switch, we would lose the mystery of how light adds to our world. And yet I feel like the more that I discover about light, the more that I even know about the science behind it, the more that metaphor, that visual representation really holds true for me about how I experience God. Like, let's take colors first, right? So take a minute and let's transport back to your science class on how light works. Okay? Does anybody remember about how light works? Like how I can see, how do we see that this is yellow? Anybody know about that? All of these other colors are absorbed, and yellow is the one that is reflected. That light, when light travels, it actually has all of the colors. I was thinking that this morning, looking at the snow. Snow that itself doesn't even have a color. We see it as white because it's reflecting all of the colors together, all at once. With this cloth, it only reflects the red light. And this, we get a little bit of blue, we get a little bit of yellow that's reflected, and we see those colors. And I remember the first science class that I learned about this, I was so confused because I thought, okay, so how do we get this black page? How do we get this black pigment? Yes, it's all the colors mixed together. And I couldn't quite understand that. You know, I thought, okay, if we see the red cloth because red is reflected, we see the yellow cloth because yellow is reflected, if we put the red and the yellow and the blue together, shouldn't we see white? Because shouldn't it reflect all of that? When actually the opposite is true, because really it's that the yellow one is absorbing all these other colors except yellow. The red is absorbing all these colors except red. And same with blue. And so when you put them together, this black is really just absorbing everything. It's like sucking all of the color out. Mirrors are even more fascinating because
the mirrors are so fascinating because actually a mirror is made by silver behind the glass. So what happens with the silver is this silver doesn't work like, you know, when you see a gray piece of paper, it's actually reflecting certain colors, blah, blah, blah. But the silver atoms, they see this color. They see one color, they catch it, and then they throw it. So a mirror is more, you can throw it back to me. See, a mirror acts more like two people throwing these wavelengths around, back and forth. And so when I think about how God, if God is light, we're not like just a color that reflects one part of who God is. We are meant to absorb God and throw God back out there to the world. And, you know, when we're just one little mirror, it can seem like it's a pretty hard job. It may even seem kind of boring, like it's not really a lot. But when you put all of that together, it's kind of like a party. And it's beautiful. And it shines more lights, creates more designs, guides our feet. See, what Jesus was trying to get across to Nicodemus is that having faith isn't just an idea. Sure, you can think about it and logically accept it. Like the science, you can understand how it works. We can understand that Jesus came to this world, that he died for us, that he rose again. Okay, we can understand that. But Jesus also calls us to live it. And to share that message with one another, to reflect that love back to one another. And to do that, a few things have to be true. We have to recognize the dark areas of our lives, offer that to God, and then receive the light, receive the love that God wants to give to us, and give that back to each other.